Enjoy both of the specials today, especially whenever that we consider during this time of the year, we remember the footsteps of Jesus as he walked along the shores of the Jordan and Judea and Galilee and in Samaria even. And it's a blessing to think about maybe someday seeing those places, but you know, we can open our scriptures and we can walk with Jesus as we go through his precious word today. Brother Tim handed this to me, and we weren't necessarily passing notes to one another. It's a sheet of some songs that were one of the songs that we usually sing, but it just so happened to be one of the songs that we tried to send through Messenger to each and every member about how deep is the Father's love. And you know, consider that today. How deep is the Father's love today? Can't be measured. We cannot even consider what was in the mind and the heart of God whenever that he sent his Son into the world. And he paid the supreme price for us. You may hear this every Sunday, but you know, it's so important for us to remember that somebody took our place upon the cross of Calvary. And somebody made it possible that we could be here today and say in our hearts that we know what redemption is. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew 26, we're going to begin our reading lesson with the sixth verse, and then we're going to make reference to John in the 12th chapter. And I know it sounds like that we're jumping around, trying to confuse everyone, but both of these and all of these go together because that they speak about a very special time that took place. Jesus has just passed through the gates of Bethany upon a young colt. The king, if you will, was coming into Jerusalem. One of the first things that he did was that he cleansed the temple, always under the law, before that there was a sacrifice. The temple was cleansed. And you might ask today, well, how did he cleanse the temple? Well, he drove the money changers out. And he made it a place that would be holy, a place that would honor God, a place where that later on the veil that was between God and between man would be split in two. And so he cleansed the temple. And then later, he sat down to Passover with his disciples and the Lord's Supper. But there was something that was done before all of that. In fact, it was done in three places. And that was his anointing. And that's what we're going to read in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, starting with the 6th verse. Then we'll make reference over to the 12th chapter of the book of John. In the 6th verse of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew's gospel, we find these words. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured upon his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much, given unto the poor." But when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a great work upon me. For ye have the poor with you always, with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, She did it for my burial. If correctly read, this comes down to the 12th verse, and our theme will come from the very next statement, the 13th verse of this same book, this same gospel. He said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this and that woman hath done be told as a memorial for her." That's our thought, and that's our scripture text, or verse text, if you will, for our message today. And of course, this was done on what was called Spy Wednesday. That's a name that they've given to some of the days of the week during the time that the Lord was making his way across to the cross of Calvary. And it's called Spy Wednesday. It was kind of given a nickname, if you will, because it was the time in which that Judas would bargain with the Pharisees to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But at the same time, it was a time in which that he was anointed and his body actually prepared for his burial. This was done three times. The first time was done in the book of Luke in the 9th chapter. Now, we're not sure that this was Mary who did it in the 9th chapter of the book of Luke, but it was a woman that came to him, did basically the same thing with ointment, a very precious ointment. And as she did it, she asked for forgiveness of her sins, and Jesus said unto her, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, this is what astounds the Pharisees. Who can forgive sin except God alone? Who indeed can save except God alone? And what they saw there was God in the flesh, who had all power given unto him in heaven and in earth. Now, over in the, and you don't have to turn to this necessarily, over in the 11th, or excuse me, the 12th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, he talks about basically the same thing that took place as the second anointing of Jesus. The one that we just read was the third anointing. The first one was in the 9th chapter of the book of Luke, and I know I've confused you thoroughly, and it confused me whenever that I was reading and studying this week. But nevertheless, this was the second anointing, and basically, we find that the same thing took place. Mary, who was of Bethany, took a pound of spikenard, very, very precious. Spikenard probably cost, for us, would be in this day about $50,000 for a bottle of ointment. So it took about a year's wages in that day and in that time to have this. So Mary, in essence, gave all that she had to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is worthy of all honor today. But in the 12th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, she anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the scripture says the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, this is what we also want to get to today. And this may sound rather scattered and out there. There was one who spoke up, and I've got a feeling that he kind of stirred up the others later on that spoke up about this ointment being used in the manner that it was and could have been sold to give to the poor. This is where that it came from. Then said one of the disciples, guess who? Judas Iscariot, yes. Then said Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for 300 pence? And not given unto the poor? Now look at what John says about him today, and we'll probably repeat this. This he said, for he cared not for the poor. Imagine that. He cared not for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag. any bear what was put therein. And Jesus said, as he had before, let her alone against this day of my bearing. Has she done this or kept this? For the poor ye have with you always, but me you have not with you always. And so, as we said, that is the whole point is today, that Mary is memorialized as having done a great and mighty thing in honoring Jesus. But we find that Judas made his own memorial as to how that he denied the Lord Jesus, not just denied the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he betrayed him, how that he sold him. Now, the Bible tells us in one place that he spoke up in one place and said, why was this ointment not sold and given unto the poor? Now, that sounds like something good. We want to give unto the poor, and certainly our resources go for this. But, you know, I don't think that Judas necessarily had the poor in mind whenever that he said this. Because, you see, Judas kept the bag. He was the treasurer. Now, the treasurer of our church, don't worry, I'm not picking on you. Because all treasures are good. But we find that Judas was a dishonest. He was a liar. He did not have the poor in mind whenever that he said what he did. And he did not have Christ's true mission in mind. Because Christ had told them time and time again. In fact, three times. That I'm going to be offered in as a sacrifice. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be crucified. And you know, the disciples just didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was saying. There was only probably one that was following them did. And that's Mary. That's why she did what she did. But Judas did not have in mind honoring Christ. In fact, I'm going to probably be preaching some opinion here, but I think I'm justified in it. I don't think Judas loved Christ. In fact, I don't think that Judas believed Christ or that he believed him to be the Messiah that would take away the sins of the world. In fact, over in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, and I believe in the 18th verse, whenever that Judas had passed off the scene, they chose one to take his place. And they spoke of Judas, and they said that the scriptures say, let his office be given unto another. That is, speaking of Judas. He had a part in this ministry, but he was not a true disciple. He was not a true apostle. He was not true unto how that all of the others had been chosen. He was not true even to himself. Because you see, little by little, he allowed a portal we use in this day and time to be opened up and for him to be used by Satan in order to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. He was greedy. He kept the money back. And I wonder sometimes, and I'm just putting this out here for consideration, I wonder if Judas had been dipping into the bag. You know, kind of like in a corporation where that somebody dips into the resources, they try to invest it, and they kind of get caught because they can't get the money back to put back into the treasure. Here we find that Judas was very anxious for this ointment to have been sold to give to the poor. Now, if that had been done, how much of it do you think would have been given to the poor? Him being greedy. Or he could have kept it for himself. Or he could have used it for something other than what it was intended for. In fact, kind of going ahead, he bargained later for 30 pieces of silver to sell Jesus out. Do you know what 30 pieces of silver is? I'm not talking about value. It's the price of a slave today. He would sell the Lord Jesus Christ willingly for 30 pieces of silver. Now, in our day and in our time, that would have been probably about anywhere from $100 to $1,000. Very much different than what Mary would have done. And he would have been using somebody else's money in all of this. But we find that the Bible tells us that he agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. His greed and his dishonesty was at work. His greed and his dishonesty consumed him. Satan saw a flaw within him. And the Bible tells us over in one place that he entered into Judas and put it into his mind in order to betray the Lord Jesus Christ unto his enemy. He met with the Pharisees. Now, there's always a reason and always something behind why people do something today. There's always a motive. There's always a reason. And the Bible tells us today that he did meet with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the captains of the synagogues and of the temple. But I've often wondered if when Jesus had said that he was the Messiah, and it was understood that he was the Messiah, if Judas had something else in mind. Now, people will say today, you're kind of taking liberty with the Word of God. Well, actually, what I'm doing is, what if? Or maybe this happened, or maybe this was the reason. But I oftentimes wonder if Judas had in mind that Jesus would break the yoke of the Romans. That is, set up a political empire, a political kingdom, because he called himself a king. And he said that my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of God. And Judas probably reasoned in his mind, we'll break the stronghold of the Romans, and Jesus will be king. He'll restore the glories of David, and maybe I'll be second in command. You ever hear something like that before? Haman, in the book of Esther, kind of cut out of the same material, if you will. But we find that he went, and having all this possibly in mind, he negotiated with the Pharisees, the chief priests, as to how that he could turn him over unto them to have him put to death. Now the Bible tells us that they schemed that they could not do it out in open. If you read in Luke 22 and the verses 1 through 6, he reasoned with them, when this transaction takes place and you take Jesus, it needs to be in a place where there's no crowds that will see him, that will see what's going on. Otherwise, they may rise up against all of us there. And I wonder if he also reasoned within his mind, I'm going to create a situation here where Jesus confronts all of them. He'll use his power in order to break the religious stronghold of the Pharisees and the political stronghold of the Romans. Now, like I said, I'm just kind of reading into this, the hows and whys, as to why that an individual that walked beside of Jesus, heard him, knew what Jesus' teachings were, saw the miracles, why that an individual like that would suddenly turn on him with malice and with greed in his mind. The only conclusion I can come to, that Judas was never his disciple in the spiritual sense like the others were. Now, you may disagree with me on that. That's fine. Everybody's got their opinion on this. But in Luke chapter 22 and verses 1 through 6, he said, let me, or he kind of reasoned and he negotiated with them. in addition as to the price that he would sell Jesus out for. He kind of negotiated with him and reasoned, you know, I know his habits. I know that he goes out and he prays sometime in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know, it'll be dark and his disciples will be with him. They're no bother. They're not going to raise any kind of fuss. In fact, they'll probably run off. And you can take Jesus there. I want to tell you something today. Jesus knew Judas in the very beginning. He said he was a devil in the beginning. He said in one place, "Have I not chosen you all?" Speaking of the disciples. "And one of you is a devil." Now I wonder, did that ever prick Judas's heart? But you know, as it went on and the sin began to take place, you know, sin doesn't just come upon an individual all at once. It usually starts out very small. You know, Judas looking at the power of Jesus, kind of like Simon seeing how that Peter and John did the miracles that he did. That's over in the book of Acts. And he wanted to buy this from them. You can't buy the power of God. That is God's today. And God is sovereign. You cannot take away from God. You cannot add unto God today. God is God. You might say, well, that's very obvious, preacher. But no, he is God today. And he needs nothing, absolutely nothing outside of himself to exist. Now, you just kind of meditate on that, and I'm not trying to be philosophical here, but I want you to know we sometimes, and we're going to be studying about this, and I invite you to come to Sunday school about the omniscience and the omnipotence of Almighty God. Sometimes, I'm speaking for self, we take it for granted. We take it for granted. But nevertheless, on this day, they agreed on a price. I don't know if the Pharisees decided upon the price that they would give Judas, or if Judas kind of bargained with them, and they kind of agreed on that, but I don't think in the corner of God's providence it was by accident, because you see today, Jesus was treated as a slave whenever that they took him, and therefore the price that they bargained for and agreed upon was for 30 pieces of silver, and how that they would take him, and how that they would scatter his disciples. Judas, and I said a little bit earlier on, how that he wanted the political aspect of it. Judas didn't want Jesus to carry the cross. He heard Jesus speaking about it. I think it disappointed Judas. I think that it kind of spoiled his plans. Christ is going to the cross. He's going to die for the sins of the world. But he didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. He wanted him to conquer Rome. Now, Rome was conquered in God's good time. Now, I might bring some things out that would surprise you that have been related back to how that God took care of Rome. But we find that he had a spiritually evil influence upon him today. Now, I don't believe that a true believer in Christ, a truly saved individual, can ever be demon-possessed. Now, I'm not going to get into what I think about that and what the Scripture says about it. That may come at a different time. But that's why that I say that I don't believe that Judas was ever one of his, from the true sense of being a disciple and an apostle. The Bible tells us, as we said in one place, Satan entered into Judas. He probably put this into his mind. He found some fertile ground in the character of Judas today. And then we find that while they were eating, he put it into his mind again. Why, Judas, you're kind of running late. You're supposed to meet with Caiaphas. You don't have to take this bread and this cup. You've got some money to make here, Judas. You better hurry. the time is passing, and he'll be going out to the garden pretty soon. And so Judas was going to betray him, and we find that time after time, again, Judas opened, as we said, a portal, a door for Satan to work on him and to put this into his mind. I think that Satan works on us sometimes. He can't possess our soul. Once that's committed unto God, it's sealed forever. But you know, unto someone that is unsaved, Satan can get people to do some of the most ungodly things. And if you want to see something historical, look at what happened to poor Germany whenever a madman, my friend, that didn't know God, was able to lead a nation into a devastating world war and nearly annihilate the Jews. You'll say today, do you believe Satan had a hand in that? I most certainly do. I most certainly do. But nevertheless, we find that Satan opened the door for him to betray later on the Lord Jesus Christ. But our text comes from that scripture that we read in your hearing about this that Mary did, or the woman did, will forever be a memorial. It'll be an icon. It'll be something that'll be remembered forever and ever, my friend, of honoring him. And that's what God saves us for. That's what God redeems us for, that we might honor him. She honored him with a very expensive type of ointment. Now, this ointment has a very interesting background to it. It didn't come from Judea, it didn't come from Rome, but it actually came on one of the trade routes from India. And it was very costly. Very few people had it. In fact, it would cost about a year's wages to buy just that we read about in the scriptures. My friend, would you, if Chanel number 5 or whatever they use now, cost about a year's wages, would you buy it? No, don't raise your hand. Don't. I'm not asking for a show of hands or who would refuse it or anything like that. But how many people would do that? You know, I believe that somehow she found the resources in order to have this. What she was going to use it before, I don't know. But I've got a sneaking suspicion that it was in the plan of God for him to be anointed. Because you see, he was being anointed not just as sacrifice, not just as offering, but whenever that the resurrection took place, it would be remembered that he was anointed to be king. And my friend, somebody says, well, later on he's going to be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No, he's my king now. He's my Lord now. I have no other allegiance to any thing or any entity, my friend, or any other worship entity, but unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm indebted unto him. Paul said in one place, I'm a debtor unto the Greeks and unto the barbarians. And then he goes on and said, I'm going to preach that I have experienced. And brother, I can tell you, I experienced Christ. And oh, that I had an ointment to put on his head. All I've got is aqua velva, my friend, but I would give, if that's all I had, I would give that to honor him. And I believe today we give whatever that we can, whatever that God makes available unto us. We're to honor him. This is the reason why that God created man, and this is the reason why that God has recreated man, that is, redeemed him, that he might honor God by honoring the Son. You see, you honor God whenever that you honor the Son. And so Mary, I'm just going to use that in all three cases. Mary had this ointment, and it was in an alabaster box. And we find in one of the scriptures that it tells us that she broke that box. So therefore, she did two things. You know, Why didn't Mary save that alabaster box? Judas probably thought. At least if we can't sell the ointment, we could sell the box. That's how people think. That's how Judas thought, perhaps. But she broke the box, and the ointment came down upon him and anointed him as king, as sacrifice, as Messiah, as the rightful heir of all the honor and glory that God could bestow upon anyone at this time. It was done three times. He told of his death three times. I believe that it kind of coincided with all of that. But now, why was Jesus anointed? If he was already king, why was he anointed? Because they anoint kings. They put an honorable type of medium upon them to show that they are sovereign, that they are rulers, that they are kings, that they are over all, that they rule all. They don't pour oil, to my knowledge, upon the King of England. They just put a crown upon him. But upon Jesus, that crowning is yet to come. Amen? Whenever that my friend in the council halls of glory in heaven will crown him forever as my friend, the rightful heir and the rightful king. It was an act of devotion. It was an act on Mary's part of love. She loved Jesus. Jesus had freed her. Jesus had raised her brother from the dead. Jesus had demonstrated the resurrection, first of all, to the family of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Now, it wasn't necessarily that Lazarus was resurrected. He was just brought back from the dead. But that resurrection that is to come is a very special coming back from the dead, my friend, and we'll get into that probably later on. You contrast the value that these two had about the Lord Jesus Christ. You contrast them today. Judas today wanted to use him. Mary wanted to honor him. Judas wanted to sell him out. Mary wanted to give all that she had to honor him. Honor him. And I believe that that's what we are to do today. We honor him, and we don't have maybe the resources to do it like Mary did, but you know how you can honor him? You can honor him with your praise. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Do you know that when you praise God, God is honored and he's in the midst of all that? And someone will say, well, I don't see him. You know, where is he at? No, he's there. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, therein will I be. Whenever that we honor him with our praise, we're singing glory. Hosanna, hallelujah. My friend, we are singing unto him. It doesn't matter, my friend, how we sound. It doesn't matter how many that there are. The fact of the matter is, it's praise unto God. And I want to tell you, it's a rehearsal. It's a rehearsal of that which is to come. When out of every kingdom, out of every nation, out of every country, all the redeemed are gathered together, and with one voice they sing praise unto the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was sacrificed, who was dead and is alive forevermore. They're going to sing praises unto him from Africa. They're going to sing praises to him that are even in Arabia. And you mean there's Christians over in Saudi Arabia? They can't worship openly like we do, but they're there. And Iran that we're fighting with, they have to worship God in an underground fashion, but they're worshiping nevertheless. But they'll be there, the French, the German, the Spanish, my friend, all nations, the Chinese, the Japanese, all of them will be giving honor and glory unto God. And you might say, oh man, what a mess. Can't understand them. Why don't they speak English like we do? Like it does in the Bible? My friend, that praise is not for your benefit. You think about it for a moment. Who is the praise unto? It's unto God. It's unto His Son. And I'm not going to be standing there in that number and listen to a Frenchman over here and all I can understand is we and so on and so forth. That's not for my benefit, for me to understand. It's for God to hear and God to be glorified. And I want to tell you, my friend, we glorify Him on both sides of eternity. We glorify Him here. We pour the ointment upon Him to give honor and glory unto Him today. And then there are some that are going to betray Him. There are some that are going to use Him for gain. There are some today that are going to dishonor Him today. But I want to tell you, I just make sure that I'm honoring Him. I just make sure, and I pray, oh God, I pray with my substance, with my being, with my what little learning that I have, that somehow that I honor You and I pour it like ointment upon Your head, upon Your feet, upon all of You, to give You honor and glory, dear Jesus. Do you love Jesus today? I don't hear much of an amen. Yes, you love Jesus. You're redeemed. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. When we were in our sins, before that we were ever born, He knew. He knew. And He came willingly. And my friend, He paid the price for every one of us today. For every one of us. God bless you is my prayer. I would encourage you today to be a Mary. Honor Him with all of your substance. I don't recommend anybody to go the way of Judas. I don't know, my friend, if very many people name their children Judas. I don't know. I know they don't name them Hitler or Adolf. But my friend, I want to tell you something. Don't go that way. Don't let sin that's small become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. God help us that we don't. And my friend, if it starts, pray it out of the way. Read it out of the way in the Word of God. Ask God to help you today. That would be our simple message today. That's all I've got. And I know that not too many preachers preach on Judas, but I want you to see the contrast between what Judas did and then what Mary did in honoring Him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as the Messiah.